Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Yo, thanks again for checking out another edition of the 12 Kyle podcast. I'm 12 Kyle. All right, so check it. On this particular podcast, what I want to do is I want to break down Jay-Z's discography up until this date with the most recent release of his most recent album. Got into, you know, a discussion on Twitter about, you know, where this particular album ranks. And I said, you know what, man, let's put together a podcast and kind of figure out Jay-Z's discography from top to bottom. Now, this is just my personal opinion. Please feel free to tell me if you agree or disagree. But we'll talk about that later. All right. So I'll drop the theme music and let's get this podcast jumping. Let's get it. Welcome back. As I mentioned at the top, man, we're talking about Jay-Z's discography. So we'll break it down, you know, from top to bottom. I think it goes without saying that I am a huge Jay-Z fan. Lyrically, Jay-Z's in my top five. In fact, I've got him at three. But looking at his discography and going over some of these albums here, you can make a case for Jay-Z not actually being in your top five. And I'm welcome to that discussion. But he's in my top five lyrically. Like I said, I had a discussion on Twitter after the album dropped, the 444 album, which recently dropped. And I was like, you know what, let's break down Jay-Z's discography. And I was going to put it on a blog, but, you know, to be honest, I didn't feel like writing. I'm lazy today. I didn't feel like writing. So I said, hey, let's record this thing. So here we go. And this is going to include all of Jay-Z's albums, including his collaborative albums, meaning the R. Kelly albums and the Watch Your Throne joint that he did with Kanye. So in total, there are 16 albums, right? So I'm not going to get into a long, drawn out details about each album. You can feel free to discuss that amongst yourselves. But I will tell you, you know, what I liked about the albums, what I didn't like about the album, so forth and so on. Coming in at number 16, Unfinished Business with R. Kelly. This album was forgettable. Just to be honest, this... I get the idea of the album. And if I'm not mistaken, this album happened, and then subsequently the, you know, incident happened with R. Kelly and Jay-Z on tour. R. Kelly gets kicked off the tour. R. Kelly subsequently sues Jay-Z for like $50 million or something like that. And I think they ended up settling or something. I don't know what happened. To be honest, I stopped caring after a while. But this album wasn't that good. I understand and I get how they got to this concept. But it's to me, again, these are my opinions. To me, this album wasn't good. Which leads me to number 15, Best of Both Worlds. Which really wasn't good. Not as bad as Unfinished Business, but it wasn't as good. And I think here's the thing. The success of the Fiesta record got them to thinking like, okay, hey, we can make this thing happen. We can do an album together. And keep in mind, to that particular point in time, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that there were any other albums that featured, you know, a rapper and a singer and this, you know, them doing it together. So in that aspect, I get and understand why and how they came about or how these albums came about. But, you know, looking at them, you know, they just weren't that good, man. I mean, like, save a couple of tracks. I mean, like, this, I have no reason or no desire to go back and listen to any of these albums. Like, they're just not that good and not appealing to me. You know, I understand how some of you probably rock out to them. Personally, like I said, 16 to 15, you can flip flop either day, because, you know, I think Unfinished Business was slightly better than, excuse me, I think Best of Both Worlds was slightly better than Unfinished Business, probably because we had heard it, you know, first or whatever. I like the title track, the Best of Both Worlds joint with R. Kelly. But other than that, this album, both of these albums weren't that good. And again, I have no reason to listen to them at all. Coming in at number 14, Magna Carta Holy Grail. This, to me, by far as Jay-Z's solo albums, is the worst album I've ever heard in my life. I can't tell you, as a huge Jay-Z fan, the level of disappointment that I have for this album. It just wasn't good, man. I didn't feel it at all. And I think of the tracks on the album, there are probably three tracks on the album that I would actually go back and listen to. Maybe not. You know what? I always refer to this album as a bad Spades hand, right? It's two and a possible. Because you got two good songs and then like is one possible song. And that's it, man. This album honestly was trash. And again, I say this as a huge Jay-Z fan. And I would say this if Jay-Z was standing right next to me. This album is trash. Like, there's no redeeming qualities about the album. The production, I mean, but even like the Rick Ross joint, you know, that's Jay-Z's flow on that. I mean, like, come on, dog. You're Jay-Z. You shouldn't have to, you know, get with a Rick Ross and switch up your flow just to try to sound like you're from, but you're not from the South, you know what I mean? So it's just, I just wasn't feeling it, man. I mean, you can tell me if you think I'm wrong. You'll be wrong, but, you know, you can tell me that if you want. But, yeah, man, this album is trash. Trash. I can promise you that I'll never listen to this album again. Never. Ever, ever. Coming in at number 13, Kingdom Come. Now, Kingdom Come gets a very bad rap because it was Jay-Z's quote-unquote comeback album, right? And so, you know, Jay-Z had quote-unquote retired, and this was his album to come back to. And so, you know, people, the level of anticipation was very high for Jay-Z to come back and deliver a banger. And, you know, the lead song, I never forget, he dropped the video for the lead song, Show Me What You Got. And they debuted it during like an NFL halftime game or something like that. I mean, like you get major play on a Monday night game at halftime. They drop your video during the broadcast. And I think it was sponsored by Budweiser or something like that. But, you know, so it had a little buzz or whatever like that. Of course, you know, the Show Me What You Got video was, you know, I thought it was kind of hot. The song was, it was okay. Not a particular favorite song of a lot of people, but I thought it was okay. But outside of that, man, the album, I did like the Hollywood track with Beyonce. I'm one of the few people that, you know, like when Jay-Z and Beyonce collaborate. Although that being said, that does not mean I want to see a Jay-Z Beyonce album. I'm not here for that, right? So JB, if you're listening, don't do it. Your singles, perfect. I love the singles. I love when you guys get together. Hollywood track on this album, I thought was pretty cool, but you know, especially with the subject matter, but nah, son, don't do that. Don't make an album. So yeah, Kingdom Come comes in at number 13. Number 12, Blueprint 2, Gift and the Curse. All right, so here's what I'll say about this album, right? This album actually wasn't a bad album. This was a decent album. The problem was that Jay-Z went for the double CD. You know, at the time, you know, Biggie had dropped the double CD, Wu-Tang had dropped the double CD, Pac had dropped the double CD, and, you know, so I guess he figured, okay, it was his turn. Bad move. Really, really, really bad move. And the reason why I say that is because, and it wasn't because the songs on here weren't good. There were some bangers. I mean, we actually got a chance to hear Dr. Dre and Rakim and Jay-Z, you know, together on a song. I mean, like, that had never happened before. So I liked The Watcher, part two. Of course, the song had the album had Excuse Me Miss, which was huge for Jay-Z as far as record sales. But the problem was that this was a double CD and a lot of the songs were just, you know, filler songs. Probably one of my favorite songs on the double CD was Meet the Parents. Jay-Z's storytelling was crazy on that one. But, you know, it was just too many songs, man. Just way too many songs. I still maintain if this is a single album, I think, you know, this probably could be up there for Jay-Z. But, and he just, you know, selectively picked the tracks. But it's way too many tracks. I think it was 11 on one side and then 11 on the other side. And then you had like three more bonus tracks. This is way too much, man. Way too much. So that's coming in at number 12. Number 11, Blueprint 3. Not bad. I like this album. I found in talking to people, a lot of people didn't like this album. So if you're ranking this, some people may rank this a little low. Personally, I don't. This one was okay for me. You know, Jay-Z was still on his way back, you know, so I didn't have a problem with that. Obviously, this one contained the smash single, the New York single, with Alicia Keys. So, you know, I didn't have a problem with this album. I think it was decent. It was solid, you know, and I think that's what, looking back on Jay-Z's discography, I think that's what we have. We have a lot of solid albums and a few great albums. So, yeah, number 11, Blueprint 3. Coming in at number 10, Watch the Throne. Watch the Throne may be higher for you on your list. It's not as high for me. I think Kanye's production was very good on this album. But I think Jay and Kanye kind of lyrically did not bring it like how I'd expected them to. The anticipation was really, really high for this album. Again, another collaborative album from Jay-Z. But, you know, when you look at, you know, how the album starts off with No Church in a While, and then you go to Niggas in Paris, the Otis joint. Let me stop right here. The Otis joint. I liked it, but over a period of time, I've come to find that a lot of people that I know don't like it. But I was cool with the Otis joint. So I could have it either way. But this album sort of trails off towards the back end of it. Again, Kanye's production I thought was pretty good. But, you know, and some of the other production on Swiss Beats, Neptune's producing tracks, RZA. This album, it was solid, but it just, I think part of the appeal for this album was the anticipation for it was really, really high. and it just didn't meet the level of where we thought the album should be. And that's just me personally. So yeah, number 10, Watch the Throne. Number 9.
If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast. Hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul Podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shaped the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast and enjoy the vibes.
Volume 3, Life and Times of S. Dot Carter. This album may be higher for some. It may be lower for some. I've got it kind of like in the middle. Reason being is that this album, to me, the first half of this album crushes. The first half of this album is so cold, man. I mean, from the intro to the Do It Again to the Snoopy track. And of course, it had Big Pimpin' on the back half of it. But the back half of the album, man, was just, oh, the joint with Mariah Carey was flaky at best. NYNP, come on, son, really? I mean, like, this album I can listen to, but I can only listen to like tracks 1 through 7, and then after that I'm like, I'm good. Yeah, and of course, Big Pimpin', I mean, obviously was a smash coming from this album, but yeah, it's, you know, Life and Times, Volume 3, Life and Times of S. Dot Carter. It was a solid, very solid album. Again, I think if you ask a cross section of people, some people will rank it higher than I have at 9. But yeah, I'm gonna put it right here at 9. Number 8, 444. I like this album. I don't love this album. I listened to it, and you know, shout out to my boy Eclectic. We did a podcast about it. I think it's this. You know what? The more, and it's kind of weird to say this, but the more that I listen to this album, the less I like it. And, you know, I trust me, I get it. The whole spill your guts, I cheated on Beyonce, dog, that's your business. I don't care one way or the other. I mean, I understand. I understand why you did it to some degree. But, you know, I wouldn't have done it. The album has its moments. You know, it has quite a few good moments, but I think it's about an average album, which is where I have it in the middle. You know, as far as his discography, it's right there in the middle. I think, you know, Jay's flow on this album just wasn't there. And the more that I listen to this album, the more I'm compelled to say that, you know, Jay probably should stop making albums. I'm not telling him to retire. I'm not telling him to stop rapping. But, you know, stick to the singles, you know, stick to the guest features. But albums, I don't know, son. I don't know. And again, this is coming from a huge Jay-Z fan. So 444 comes in at number 8. Number 7, Volume 2, Hard Knock Life. To date, I think this is Jay-Z's most biggest selling album. You know, obviously with the commercial appeal of Hard Knock Life, the song with the Annie theme. But I love this album. Now, this album, you could make a case this album was a compilation, because hell, there was somebody on damn near every track. But I think at the end of the day, what he tried to do. I think Jay-Z is his business acumen and his knowledge and everything that he put together into this project, I thought was well placed. And I think he had to, do that to make things work for this album. And I think this album works, man. This album goes hard. Again, some people don't have it placed as high as I have it placed, but I love this album. This is an album that I will listen to over and over again, and I don't have a problem listening to it. All right. So now we got to get a little controversial. If you're keeping track, we're down to number 6, right? I'm going to go out on a limb and say most of you listening don't have this album at number 6. I have it ranked, probably by your definition, extremely high, but we can talk about it. Coming in at number 6, In My Lifetime, Volume 1. I absolutely love this album. I know that I'm in the minority, but other than two tracks, this album is so dope to me. There's two tracks that I skip every time that I listen to it because I just can't stand it. For me, the two tracks that I don't like, I Know What Girls Like, with Puff Daddy and Lil' Kim. I really can't even describe it. This song is so damn corny. I never listened to it. The second song, Always Be My Sunshine, with Babyface on the hook and Foxy Brown. This song got old for me very quickly. I don't dislike it for most of the reasons that a lot of people think. But it's just that it got really old because of the airplay that it got. Now, I will say this much about this particular song. When this album came out in 1997, before the video dropped, people weren't fronting on this song. Now, once the video dropped and people saw Hype Williams directed this video and it had all those colors and stuff and you had Babyface on the hook, then I think people started to shit on the video on the song. But quietly, this album, like I said, this whole album is a pretty damn good album. I absolutely love this album. Again, I know that I'm in the minority because a lot of people don't have this album ranked as high, but other than those two songs, I think this is a dope ass album. People talk about, and which was actually interesting going back to 444, when people talk about, oh, well, we've never heard Jay this transparent on an album. Go to this album here, In My Lifetime, Volume 1. Go to track 14, You Must Love Me. Very revealing song. I mean, Jay pours his heart out on this song. I absolutely love this album, top to bottom. Other than those two tracks, I love this album, and I still play it to this day. Again, I know I'm in the minority. If you agree, hit me up. If you disagree, hit me up on Twitter, @12Kyle, the number 12, K-Y-L-E. Or you can drop a comment on SoundCloud or Stitcher. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you got to shoot me a tweet because you can't comment on there. So that leads us to number 5. Number 5. The Dynasty, Rock La Familia. Rock La Familia. I love this album. This is, it's interesting because Jay-Z is credited as this being a solo album, but, he ain't rhyming solo on none of these damn tracks. I think this album was really, really dope because this album featured a lot of what we came to know from, some of the younger producers that Jay-Z was working with. The production was crazy on this album. I loved it. And I still listen to it and bump it to this day. I think Beans was, at his, I don't want to say he was at his peak, but Beans was rhyming, doing his thing. This was the introduction of Freeway to the crew. Of course, Memphis Bleek, did his thing. Memphis Bleek did his thing on this album. Stop laughing, y'all. And of course, this album had, you know, the lead single, I Just Want to Love You, Give It to Me, with Pharrell. You know, but Scarface appeared on this album, Snoop, you know, even the great Emil appeared on this album. Nonetheless, man, I love this album. This album goes hard. You know, I still don't understand the last track, Where Have You Been? You know, very cryptic type of sounding album, but excuse me, song. But nonetheless, man, I think the production that he had on here was really, really crazy, from Kanye to Just Blaze to Rick Rock to Bink. You know, so he and obviously the Neptunes. So I think this album is you know, one of the ones that I always go back and listen to. It's one that I never get tired of listening to. So yeah, coming in at number five, The Dynasty, Rock La Familia. Number four, American Gangster. American Gangster's cold. If you don't have this album, by all means, make sure that you get it, listen to it. Obviously, this was a theme album because the album coincided with the movie. But yeah, you know, I thought this album, the concept was dope. I think, you know, it put Jay-Z back into the hustler mode, if you will, for him to rhyme about, you know, things that was actually happening in the movie and talk about, you know, kind of touch on his life as a hustler, because he had moved away from those kind of rhymes at that particular time, man. But I love this album. This album comes in at number four. Number three, Blueprint. Man, I love Blueprint. You know, I've heard some people say that, you know, they probably ranked this album at two. I've heard some people ranked it as high as number one. I ain't going that far. But this album is a flawless album, man. I love it. Never get tired of listening to it. You know, this was Jay-Z's bounce back album. He had dropped, you know, The Dynasty. You know, he caught some flack for Volume 3 and Life of Times of S. Dot Carter, and then The Dynasty album. So he caught some flack about that. So this was, I think, you know, I don't want to say like he fell off or anything like that, because I mean, those albums sold well, but you know, this was his bounce back album, man, and he delivered, you know, what many consider to be a classic. I love this album. Other than one song, The Whole Lot O Vito, I hate that song. Other than that, I think it's a flawless album, man. I think this album goes hard. It still resonates to this day. It's very easy to listen to. Obviously, it had The Takeover, which set off the, you know, the war between him and Nas. Eminem was on this joint. Very, very dope album. Still a great listen these years later. Number two, The Black Album. Goes without saying, man, Black Album was dope. This album goes hard from beginning to end, from Jay-Z's mama appearing on it to, you know, Jay-Z. Because, you know, to be honest, we thought this was Jay-Z's swan song. This was supposed to be his last album. He was packing it in, you know, headed on to retirement. He was headed, you know, hanging the mic up. And, you know, for, I guess, for some reason, for some of us, you know, we probably hold it in very high regard because we figured that this was his last album. But this was a dope album. Production was tight. Jay-Z's lyrics and flow was tight. I enjoy listening to this album. I still listen to it from time to time. This album, you know, it I think even over a period of time, it still has gotten better. I think there's one misplaced track on this album, and it's not a bad track, but it's just misplaced. The DJ Quick joint, you know, Justify My Thug, I was like, oh, I'm okay with that. But other than that, and Change Clothes, I think, doesn't necessarily fit the theme of the album, but it's a dope song nonetheless. But other than that, I think Jay-Z, man, he killed it, man. I mean, 99 Problems, you know, he had so many bangers on this joint. So I love listening to this album to this day. And number one, without a doubt, I mean, anybody knows me knows that this is coming in number one because this is one of my all-time favorite hip-hop albums, Reasonable Doubt. Reasonable Doubt is an album that I listen to weekly. No lie. Listen to it at least once a week. This album, and I talked about it on the Reasonable Doubt podcast, so if you did not hear that particular podcast when you're done listening to this one, double back and listen to the Reasonable Doubt podcast when I break it down. But this album is Jay-Z's best work. Jay-Z has often said that it took him his lifetime to make this album. It's a classic, man. This album is a classic. So many memorable lines. Jay-Z at his best. And I think, you know, this album is the standard by which his other albums are held. And, you know, a lot of times when people talk about Jay-Z, you know, they're very interested in how, you know, well this that particular album stacks up to Reasonable Doubt. If we're being honest, none of them stack up to Reasonable Doubt, to be honest, because it's just that dope of an album. It's timeless and it's a classic. And I think most hip hop historians, people who are tenured in hip hop, such as myself, view it as such. It is Jay-Z's, you know, crowning jewel, and you know, it's something that will definitely live on in his legacy. It's one of the albums that helped define who Jay-Z is, not just as a man, but as a lyricist, as an MC, and you know, it helps complete his discography. So I've gone through 16 through 1. That's my list. You tell me if I'm right. You tell me if I'm wrong. Hit me up. I would love to hear back from you. That's going to do it for me. Thank you for listening to another edition of the 12 Kyle Podcast. I'm your boy, 12 Kyle. I'll catch you guys next time. 5 G's.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you're a pro, you got to do a little bit of everything. A little. A little. And even a little. And it helps to have something that works as hard as you do. That's why Valspar has durable, high-coverage paint for every job, every time. Made for more. Valspar. Pros, head to Lowe's today and talk to a pro rep about saving time and money on your next job with Valspar Signature Paint. Exclusions apply. See ValsparPro.com for details.
Thank you for listening. This concludes the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the podcast on social media. And feel free to continue this discussion on our Reddit page. More importantly, share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. Until next time, 5,000.